Are we going?
And a podcast.
Torchwood Cast. Years ago, we started something. Just something small, and it grew, and it became something so overwhelmingly full of shit. Celebration, good times, come on, Al Gore, because we're done.
It's over. It's gone. The evil is defeated. There will be no more Torchwood ever again. That sounds like a joke, but actually it is. There will never be Torchwood ever again.
Mm-hmm. Only on audio.
Unless I can think of a couple of ways they might bring it back, but no. I guess my question would be, is it worth it? Yeah, at this point, is it worth it? No.
There's really no reason.
Not only is there no reason to do it, I feel like there's something about this ending that's just so bad. Mm-hmm. It's people monologuing at each other for 45 minutes. And then by the time you put it together, you go like, oh, all right, I figured it out. What do you mean there's 20 more minutes left? Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So the gathering was broadcast on the 2nd September in the US and the 8th of September in the UK. And the Bloodline was broadcast 9th of September in the US and the 15th of September in the UK. The gathering was directed by Guy Ferland, who, you know, spoke before, and written by John Fay, who was one of the three writers on Children of Earth. So, you know, congrats to him. And then Russell and James Benson wrote The Bloodline. So basically what happens is, for some unfathomable reason, we skip 2 months into the future. And
that's such a bad decision.
The government in the UK has decided to keep the overflow camps going. Which basically means people are just being labeled Category 1 without any reservation, including Gwen's dad, who has been hidden in the cellar of her mom's house while the government kind of surveils the house. She's ran out to get drugs in secret. Jack is fine now. Esther's been looking after him. She's been drawing his blood. And Rex has been welcomed back to the CIA with open arms, and they're kind of tracking everything that's going down. Even though Harriet, one of the team, is actually a mole for the families. Oswald escapes to Wales. He goes to Gwen's house, and then Jack and Esther also show up, and they beat up Oswald and question him, like, what do you know? And he says, oh, well, we know. He just reveals that Jilly's been basically hired by the family to spread misinformation by mistranslating videos, which hides references to the blessing. And they kind of investigate more, and they find out that two blood banks in Buenos Aires and Beijing were burnt down at the exact same time. And Reese gets a globe, and he's like, well, they're polar opposites on your side of the world, so, you know, maybe there's something there. And then Gwen's dad is... kidnapped, not kidnapped, the police people and like the kind of government have been surveying the house, break in, and they use like a phone app to find Gwen's dad, and they take him away. And then Jilly goes to Beijing, and Frances Fisher shows her this big crack in the earth, and is like, "This is a blessing." It just sucks things in, and basically, but the team splits up. One goes one way, the other goes the other. The families decide they're going to blow up the blessing to make sure no one can get in there and kind of undo their work. Is it Harriet, whatever her name is, blows up the CIA people to avoid being discovered, because they do like a trace and they find out she was a mole. They learn the families behind everything, who the fuck gives a shit. Jack, he spills blood in at either end of the blessing, which seems possible. Then Rex, who's in Buenos Aires, reveals that they transfuse Jack's blood into his body, which he could do because the miracle meant he couldn't die doing it. They do that, but Esther gets shot, and because they reverse the miracle, Esther dies. Oswald blows himself up along with Frances Fisher. The families reveal to Julie that it was only step one, or plan A, where the fuck they say, for a bigger plan, and they reveal your one is a mole, and she shoots Rex. Then she gets shot, and then Rex wakes up and says, "What the hell did you do to me? Because I can't die anymore." And then cuts the credits. Horseshit. A lot of horseshit.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Why didn't they destroy the entrance to the blessing at the start if they have no intention of undoing it? Like, why leave it open? Yeah. Follow-up question. Jack Harkness spent the entire show being like, "That's not how my immortality works. It's not my blood. It's not my blood." And in the end, it was his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, what?
Yeah, it's not good. Look, I said to you elsewhere, but like, episode 10 is 90% people monologuing to camera, and
it is so boring. It's literally people being like, "The blessing did this, and the blessing did that, and that's why this happened, and that's why that happened." It's like, oh my god, I wanted to die so many times. It was genuinely so mind-numbling boring. And I you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of a bad Doctor Who episode, because it is a lot of just people being like, "And this is what," like, there's a lot of moments where I was like, "Why are you explaining this?" You know? Like, she's like, "Oh, Jilly Christinger, you'll have to rewrite history, so I'm going to explain my history to you." It's like, no, you don't. Why are you telling her the way you manipulated everything? That's not how this works. She's recording. She's giving evidence of your crimes. Moron.
Why in the penultimate episode of your big story do you decide to skip 2 months into the future? And then, like, you know, in general, why do you? It throws everything.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It is so befuddling because it simultaneously feels like no time has passed, and also the time has passed. Mm-hmm. They all might as well be in a completely different world.
Like, the cliffhanger last scene was Jack at Josh. "Oh, will he survive?" And then immediately it's like, "Oh, he's fine. He's okay." Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna? I don't know what to do. I ran off to Scotland. How? They went off to Scotland. Why did they make a plot? Why did they come up with a solution to their plot that requires the characters to be separated? Like, why? Don't you want us to like these people? Don't you want us to like want them to see more of them together?
Like, it's just like, what is going on? Like, okay. So they do the time jump, and the world collapses again even more. I get doing a time jump, but do the time jump in like episode 4. Do it in like episode 2. Be like, you know, it like episode 1 ends with like, you know, whatever, or like do episode 2, it ends, and then it's like 2 months later, or like a year later, and like the whole world has collapsed, and then it's more interesting because then you can be like way more kind of like, you know, can be more in line with like the 45 Club kind of thing, you know. We can get more of the kind of minutia into it and be more interesting, rather than being like, okay, we're going to skip 2 months in the future, and all that's happened is people are like looting now, and also and then, you know, like there's so much stuff where I'm just so confused, like, and like, okay,
yeah,
Oswald comes to Wales. Okay, he comes to Wales. I understand that, like, you know, things probably aren't on the forefront of some people's minds, but how does he get to Wales from America when he's, like, Oswald Danes, too? He's wanted by the families, or not families, but the entire US government to be made into a Category Zero. He just kind of waltzes in with, like, a cap over his face, yeah, which is, like, Indiana Jones logic. It's I don't know.
He's simultaneously the most popular and least popular figure in the world. They bring him back and he's like, he dominates the first half of episode 9. He dominates it. Like, there's so many moments of, like, he gets a facial of a beer and Bill Pullman does like a anyway, he dominates it, and then he's just gone. He's just standing there with a bomb around his chest, and he just stands there and waits for, like, the moment where he can do his big speech telling everyone.
The thing is, like, it's so annoying. So much of the stuff they have to answer, their answer is, we don't know, just work with it. Where it's like, yeah, I don't know, just go along with it. And it's like that can work.
Like, no, you've been building up to this for so long, and I don't know, is your answer?
Why is the big thing a giant CGI
anus? It's an anus you drop blood into, and it somehow simultaneously, so it was like, oh, it felt it was being attacked, so we did the thing you wanted it to do. That was weird. Literally, it was like, if you were attacking it, and so instead of doing the thing you wanted it to do, it did the thing you wanted me to do. Huh? What? What are we talking about? What is going on?
What is any of this? What is any of this? Like, oh, I don't know. Like everyone feels like they just take weird, like, turns for no reason. Like, Oswald goes back to being, like, the kind of weird daughtery person he was in, like, the first few episodes, where he's, like, being really strange. You know, like, I don't know. Like,
it's
different.
Jillian is a whole, no, sorry, but with Oswald, they have that whole sequence where Oswald, where Jack does this whole speech to Oswald, this emotional speech, and it's shot in the way where it's like, are they gonna fuck? Like, are they gonna start, like, having, because it feels like a romantic scene, and it just won't stop getting closer and closer to John Barrowman and Bill Pullman until that, like, literally, I am going to get a screenshot from the beginning of that scene and the end of that scene, just so you can see. It's like, at the beginning, it's a normal shot. At the end, John Barrowman's face is dominating the frame. It's insane. It's such a weird scene for no reason other than, I don't know, like, we needed to give Bill Pullman something to do in the last moment.
It's funny you say it's a weird scene, because every single scene is a weird scene. Every single like moment is a weird scene. Like, there's like the guy. Okay, so episode 9 is, and I says to you, it's sorry, so the screenshot.
I got the two screenshots, and you can see what I'm talking about if you look at it. It is so noticeable when you put it side by side, but it's like, the shot starts with, again, it's very normal, John Barrowman shot from, you know, his chest up, and it keeps zooming, and by the end it's so close that literally his face is the entire frame. He looks like a balloon. He looks like a balloon.
Okay, so one of my big things with it being like a time jump is that usually when you
have to spend so much time explaining shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
When you do a time jump, it's usually like, you know, we have a lot of stuff to do, so we have to, like, you know, go into the future and just basically have them be in a new situation where the stuff that we can't afford to show or can't afford to do will happen.
It's done.
Yeah. But as a result, yeah, they have about five episodes worth of stuff to explain in about 5 minutes, and it just does not work. The whole thing where the guys are surveying Gwen's house, and then Jack is just randomly in the room with them, and he's just back after being in Scotland, and it's like,
yeah,
you guys why is he just here now? Why is he just after appearing and being like, you know, I gave you retcon yesterday, I'll give you retcon again tonight, and it's like, what is going on?
If you give retcon so easily, like, why is this ever an issue? Additionally to that, like, when Esther shows up and they're like, is that Esther Drummond? Remind me to arrest you when this is over. And I'm like, shit, wait, what? So there was never a threat. Then why did they run? Like, if there was never a threat, if he was going to react to the side of Esther, sure, he was all the way across the world and they were about to, like, hit up the families or whatever. But if that was the reaction, then why run? You know, why not try to work together? You know, whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, the whole, like, Charlotte plot is like, if she's the mole, like, this is the worst mole ever because she kills everybody as opposed to just like getting rid of the evidence. Also, like, this is 2011. People remember phone numbers. Don't you realize, like, wouldn't you realize at a certain point, wait, this is the phone number for my friend? Oh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, whatever.
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you? Also, if you know there's a mole, why aren't you going, everyone stay in this room and nobody leave the room? Because there's a mole.
Why aren't you going, why don't we just check everyone's phone number in this room and everyone's, like, information and have surveillance on everyone? Why, like...
We have camera footage of you going into this room and opening up a filing cabinet and pulling out a bomb. Like, it's not even, it was hidden in, like, a compartment that you had to put in a coat or something. It was in the back of a filing cabinet, just like a random filing cabinet. It's like, guys, all it takes is just one random kid being like, haha, pulling it open. Why is there a bomb there? Like, is that how the families work? I'm sorry, it makes no sense. It's so fucking stupid.
Something else that makes no sense is the decision. Like, I get the idea of, you know, you want to set things up and you want to have, like, you know, a built-in kind of, you know, if we come back, we have a thing to follow up on. But having the 1-2 punch of that was only a dry run for the next a thing we're going to do, and then having Rex be like, I can't die now. And then you can never resolve either of those things because the BBC doesn't own the rights to those characters in the way where the Big Finish could do something. It's like, it makes it feel
but
so
But also, cheap. Why would you, do you care? Do you care about any of this? Like, at the end when Rex Mason is like, I am immortal, I'm just like, and I don't care. I don't care.
How little they care about it. They reveal in one of the, like, early, you know, because the early Big Finish Torchwood, it's like, we give, like, one character an audio per, like, thing. So, like, one of them's, like, a Yanto one. One of them's, like, a Jack one. There's one with Gwen and Rhys where there's, like, this guy shows up at, like, a nursing home who claims to be Jack, but he's really old, where they reveal that the family plot was actually... like, basically bankrolled by the villains of the Torchwood Big Finish.
Oh my god.
And they do that in a throwaway line. It's not even, like, the focus of the episode. It's like a throwaway line. Like, oh yeah, by the way, that miracle stuff is all the committee's idea of, you know, we're going to give these guys money to do this. And it's like... there's so much of this where it is just so stupid. And so, so silly, and, like, not even a fun way, and it's, like, a really, like, stupid, stupid way. Like, why... One thing I really cannot stand in media is when it's a version of quipping where it's just, like, it's smugness for the sake of being... It's like, you know, it's like if the Team Rocket thing where it's like, prepare for trouble, make a double, whatever... It's like the smug version of that, and it's the thing that Francis Fisher, and God love him, the guy in Buenos Aires who has the weirdest way of speaking to them, where he speaks like he's on, like, a morning news show on the radio.
Yes, yes. Hello, like, oh, I am this.
And opens his mouth. He's like, and here we go.
You're advantage families. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
And it's like, what is any of this happening? Like, what is happening? Speaking of radio, also, obviously, Russell T Davies has a cameo in episode 9 that made me laugh so much, where he's doing the good news report on the radio. And I was like, that's Russell. Because I never noticed that before. But like, oh, I don't know. Like, the thing you're saying, like, when they're split up, there's a whole plot thing where the families try to kill Esther and Rex by blowing them up, and it doesn't work because they're not in the truck when that happens. But the mm-hmm. episode wants you to play along with the idea that they might be dead, even though we know they're alive. And it's like, none of this stuff dramatically works because we know they're alive. Why? Like
we know they're alive. There's nothing to be added but also, like, nothing is added to the fact that they're dead. People think they're dead because the next scene they show up after they tell the guy to pretend that they're dead is when they get found. Mm-hmm. So literally it's like, it's not even that we see them sneaking in and they get like an upper hand. Literally, the next scene we see them, it's like, and we found your friends. Mm-hmm. It's like, what?
It's I don't like the, it's so baffling. It feels like episode 10 is a first draft because there's so much stuff that just is so baffling to me. It feels like the entire season's a first draft. And there's one thing I'm gonna talk about one character who is the epitome of this feels like a first draft idea. And it really hit me as we were watching her funeral. What was the point of Esther? Like, we get the whole thing of, like, Esther dies. She isn't, like, a dramatic hero's death. She gets shot. Which could, like, that can work as a perfectly, thing of, like, you know, this character we've fought along with just dies. And it can kind of highlight, like, you know, the ways in which Gwen and Jack have kind of gotten used to this. Is that, like, Gwen and maybe it's like, Rex, just ignore her dying. You have to do this, you know. It ultimately doesn't matter if the mission succeeds. Like, you complain to that. They don't. That's just a whole, like, throwaway kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're sitting there watching them sing at her funeral. And you're like, this person, like, never had, like, this person was defined by the fact that they were always doing stupid
working
just to progress, like, elements of the plot that never really, like, resolve themselves in any kind of meaningful way. And, like, mm-hmm. her there with her kids, like, there's no kind of mention of that. There's no kind of, she's, like, she has always felt like a character. Not even a character device, it's a character, like, ship to carry all these, like, moments with her, and she never got a chance just to be a character. And it were like, you're meant to kind of care that she dies, but I just could not bring myself to care that this character got gone because she never did anything that, like, felt
she
painful.
Never did. She never did anything. The biggest effect her plot line has is on her sister, who is a tangential character to her. So the only time there's, like, an emotional connection between you and a character reacting to her is when you see the sister. And even then, again, even that plot is like, that's so stupid. That was such a stupid plot. I think the problem with Esther also expands to the miracle as a whole. You know, you spend 8 episodes just digging into how the world has been completely destroyed by the miracle. And then when we come back, and sure, you basically don't do anything Russell hasn't done in Turn Left.
Mm-hmm.
It's Turn Left light, speed run, because literally he has 20 minutes. But also, they still get pizza, you know? Yeah. Like, if it feels like they've sort of adjusted to it, completely fine, which sucks because there's moments that it feels like they wanted to do the whole, like, let's do the time skip so that they could go back to a world where, like, I don't know, it feels like somebody was like, and then the camps come back so that we can have stakes with Gwen's dad, because that's the only thing we get. That's the only possible thing that 2 months later gets you. Like, literally, if you transplanted this pod to this happens the day after the last episode, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that Gwen's dad is going back to the furnaces, and then people would be like, wait, weren't they protesting? To which I'd say, if you just had them bring, yeah, I feel like they would just, you know, fucking do open it up again. You are already hinting towards that, you know? You're already hinting towards the idea that they were going to open them up again. You didn't need the time skip.
The thing is that, like, one, I think this episode is the most, the one that feels the most like Children of Earth, which I think is because John Faye is writing it, but like, I would argue that Children of Earth, which is obviously, you know, set over the course of like 5 consecutive days, more or less, that feels more of the degrading of what's going on than them skipping 2 months, like, and nothing really changing beyond random stuff. And it's just completely just, it's just completely bizarre to me. Like, so much stuff is bizarre to me. They have a problem where they keep introducing these like great actors, like, you know, Ernie Hudson and John Delancey, and giving them like an episode and then they're just gone. Whereas in like this one, you know, this one with John Delancey, he gets to say "oh fuck" instead of saying "oh fuck," and, you know, gets a big moment. But like, it really just feels like what is? This feels like a means to an end in a way that just doesn't feel like the end is really something we need to build to. I don't know. It's the thing with the blessing. I kind of touched on it earlier on, that the back of like a giant kind of CGI hole, is that it's impossible to really, like, you look at it and it's impossible to really tell what you're looking at, because it's rendered in the way where it's completely in shadow. Like I said, they never really kind of say it's this or that. You say like, oh, we just found it, or we don't really want to explain what it is. And it comes like a whole thing, like, so much stuff that they just want to show you and demonstrate to you without any kind of real tangible kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
It's just like,
that puts it really well, actually. Yeah, it's a lot of, it's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing.
The thing as well is that, like, there's so many small moments I really like. The moment with Andy, like, brings Reese, like, you know, say goodbye to Gwen's dad, and then there's like a 15-year-old girl that no one's come to claim, and Andy, like, it's with her as she dies. Like, that, like, those small moments are really good, but they're swamped out by this whole, like, you know, it's time for, you know, Oswald to have his monologue. It's time for, you know, it's time for this thing or that thing. And it's like, I don't know. Like, if we had those smaller moments, I think it would be way more kind of cohesive, I guess.
But then, you're saying it should have been 6 episodes.
It should have been 6 episodes, and it should have been, like, a lot kind of more staggered, in terms of, like, you know, we'll jump time in episode 2, and then we can really kind of take a second to breathe and to just, like, say, like, you know, here's one thing happening in the world right now. You know, here's another thing. This is the sense of where the world is now. Rather than being like, because, like, the world before the time jump is already pretty different. You don't need to do a time jump to show us that the world has changed, because it already has changed pretty quickly. Like, it's just baffling that they decide to do this. And then they have, like, the weird, they had this government guy with his mobile phone, his magic thermal device on his mobile phone, who's like, you know,
oh my god, is that the part that annoyed? I'll tell you what annoyed me more than that is when they showed the FICOR logo, and it's a circle with a line in it, and they were like, it was staring at us in the face the whole time. It's like, no, you can't pull that shit with me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, again, I don't understand what FICOR is supposed to be, because I was told FICOR is not the people who are behind this. So why do their logo give away their fucking plan?
Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? Why is any of that happening, really?
I don't care. I'm done. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Yeah, like, the thing with Rex, like, I think if they were going to bring it back, they could do it with Rex and have Rex be the kind of Jack figure.
Because but why? That's why? But why? Like, Rex is just a boring character. There's just nothing to Rex. There's nothing you can gain from bringing back Rex. You just can't. Mm-hmm. He just has nothing. His entire character was to be the antagonistic. He was the... I understand why they brought him in. It's because they were like, we need an Owen. And I can't believe this, but he makes me miss Owen. Like, he's not Owen. Owen is Bern Gorman. Like, there's a magic to Owen you just can't replicate.
You know what would be really, really interesting with you saying that is if the miracle had, like, reversed Owen's. Because Owen's whole thing was, like, you know, he came back.
Right.
To death, like the physical death. If they had been able to, like, square that circle, like, Owen comes back to life because the miracle reverses that death, because it wasn't, like, a natural death, it was, like, an otherworldly thing, then you can have, like,
that Owen. Bring back Yanto. You could bring back so many people. You could have used... See, here's the thing. I feel like as they were going to the two locations and doing all that shit... In my head, I was already being like, why are you going to do that? In my head, it's like, well, because that's how the blessing works. It's like, yeah, but the blessing isn't real. Like, none of this is real. You could have just come up with a better solution. You could have come up with something that brings everyone back. And then, like, and then the moment at the end when they're like, oh, will you stop the miracle or will you keep your friend alive, would have more weight, because then we'd be like, no, we actually like these people, as opposed to, all right, yeah, bye, Esther. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, it's just, I really, like, there is really no kind of props to give it that, like, anything. It's just, it feels like a contractual obligation fulfilled, rather than, like, here's a 10-episode kind of, you know, continuation of all your favorite characters. Which is, like, it's kind of partly why I really want to delve into the Big Finish stuff, because I feel like, and it's been evident by the fact that people have really kind of said that they're, like, it's great work, and that, you know, it's some of their best work. The fact that they can get away from the, you know, Jack and Gwen of it all and have, like, their own characters do stuff, it does kind of feel like that is a more welcome relief than having another kind of set of focus on these two guys. Because I think by the end of this, they've taken both of them as far as I can go. And, like, when Jack shows up again in, like, I will say, I do think Barrowman is really good in Revolution with Daleks. I think that performance is good. I think that character is kind of useless in terms of what they ask of him to do in that episode. But I think he's really good. I think he really sells the character in that one. But by the time he shows back up, it's like, we kind of ran out of steam. Like, he should, like, I understand why he's in this, because the whole thing's, like, premedicated on. We took his blood and we used it to engineer this. But as a character, they kind of reached
why is the here?
Yeah. Children of Earth, where, like, you know,
yes,
yeah, and, like, why is he here? Like, Gwen. It's nice to see Gwen show up again. Even Miles back up. She's always great.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did anything feel like it needed to have Gwen
present? Right.
Like, beyond, like, you know, the stuff in Wales, like.
Yep. It honestly felt like she could have stayed behind.
Yeah. Point.
It almost feels like she. You almost wonder. Yeah, there's a part where it's like, well, I don't know. The part that really gets to me, based on what you said, is that this show is called Torchwood, and yet it never feels like Torchwood. It hasn't felt like Torchwood in so long. Mm-hmm. But, like, what Torchwood feels changes so much. Children of Earth was, like, a big, like, last hurrah, and this feels like a haru, where you're like...
It just feels like they would have been fine if they had just done this as, like, Miracle Day, its own show, rather than, like, Torchwood Miracle Day.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we get some stuff. We get, they reference Arachnos, which I found very funny, because, like, what person this goes back to the thing of like new viewers versus old viewers. What new viewer is going to hear when the doctor said that the Rachnos energy, whatever, and like what person's going to hear that and be like, what, like, I understand what that means perfectly. Like, there's
yeah, so that, that moment is the most like, oh, you don't get it. You don't get the, you don't get what's going on. Okay,
it's,
got it.
Yeah. It's just, it's so, like, I don't know. I don't know, like I said, Jilly becomes a new character. Jilly goes from being like, Jilly's progression across the whole thing goes from like, you know, the devil to, you know, someone who's like fairly like, you know, she knows what she wants to do, which is like, you know, progress up this kind of path, but she seems to be a bit kind of reluctant. Then she's like, you know, fully kind of embracing this role. But then like, and she has like the Esther thing in this of just feeling stupid in a way she hasn't felt stupid at all before, and like doing weird things, acting strangely. I did find the elevator fight between her and Gwen to be kind of funny.
Oh my god, that was so long. Like, literally, there was a moment where I kind of want to edit it, because it literally, there was a beat where she presses a button, the elevator starts going down, she leaves, Jilly presses a button, the elevator starts going up, Gwen presses a button, the elevator starts going down, and it's the same footage, but clearly just like reversed. And I was like, I wish they kept doing the beat, but like they just kept pressing the button, keep going up and down over and over. Just keep doing it. Just go full comedy.
It's, yeah. I mean, in the midst of that, then you have Oswald saying some very, very Oswald-y things. You have Francis Fisher. Like, Francis Fisher is someone I've always been confused by, because obviously, like, she's great in, like, you know, Titanic and stuff, but like, her overriding cultural memory right now is obviously to Leslie and the whole, like, you know, grassroots campaign of we're gonna get Kate, oh, we're not gonna get Andrea Riseborough. I got confused with Lee, because she did the same thing with Lee. We're gonna get like Andrea Riseborough, you know, into the conversation through this whole campaign. They waste her so much in this, to the point where I'm like, yeah, it's like
she just comes into monologue. It's such a waste of an actor.
Monologue, and also monologue some of the worst, like, kind of smug lines about, like, you know, as you said, like, it's just monologuing about the history of their entire operation. And it's like, we don't need this. Like, we don't need this scene. Because, like, there's interesting, like, the bit with the blessing where, like, Gwen first sees, like, this, like, just the scaffolding as immediate, like, feeling queasy and has to sit down because she just feels awful. Like, that's an interesting thing to build up on. Rather than, like, having Francis Fisher be like, oh, yes, and also, you know, when you stand near it, sometimes you feel, you know, your worst fears kind of, or your worst aspects are amplified, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, they do it with Oswald, where Oswald, it briefly seems like Oswald's going to, like, you know, crack because the thing gets into his head. And then they kind of just skirt past that. Like, the blessing just feels like they had, and they needed an idea of how this thing started. And the thing that made sense to them was a big hole through the entire planet. Does it go through the actual planet, or does it go through, like, the crust? Because if it went through the planet, then
I don't know.
Wouldn't the core burn blood as it came in, because it's going through, like, unimaginable temperatures. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's what Russell T. Davis would tell. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was the wrong anagram.
It was the wrong anagram. It was actually Francis Ford Coppola. I don't know. It's just funny that, like, for everything we went through, 10 weeks of this whole story, that it ends with setup for something that will never happen and a cliffhanger that will never be resolved, that neither of them needed to be real. You know, we didn't actually need to have this, like, you know, it was only plan A, or it's only the warm up, because, like, and this is the thing that, like, a lot of reviews pointed out, and I agree with it pretty much. You don't need to go bigger. You don't need to, like, promise that you're going to go bigger. Like, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Their season. You didn't need to go bigger with this idea. The idea, yeah. Like, it, like, It's like you go too big when you go bigger, you know. And this is them going way too big. And they
By the time that they're at the end, like, oh, and the world is back to normal. I'm like, what? No. It wouldn't be. It would be insane for a long time.
Apparently, everyone's just normal again. Everyone's just like going to like here. Like, there's one line where Jack's like, you know, all the funerals are kind of, you know, backed up.
Yeah, 10 funerals an hour or something. It's like, five seconds ago, we were all fascists.
they could have seen. I can't remember, maybe from the commentary, maybe from something where, like, apparently there's going to be a gag where there's going to be like five, like, there's going to be like hearses up the block and just like low hearses is driving in out of the church, which goes into the whole thing of, like, you guys are like,
what?
You're presenting this idea of, you know, like you said, everything's back to normal immediately. This is where the time jump should happen. It should be like, you know, 8 months later, and then they're having the funeral because there's been so much backup and everything's come back to normal, rather than being like, you know, the next day everyone's fine and like we're all it feels so sloppy and like I don't know.
It's over, David. It's gone. There's no more we have finished Torchwood.
We've finished.
You know what we should do now that we should rank the series?
That's pretty easy. Well,
you go first.
So I'm gonna be cheeky. The bits of season two that are good, they're number one for me. Then it's Children of Earth, then it's season one, then it's the bits of season two that weren't good, and then it's this.
Yeah, it's 2, 3, 1, 4 for me too, yeah.
Cause like season two really felt like they were getting an idea of what to do.
Yeah, there was a good mix of, you know, like random one-off episodes and like these little arcs that were fun. But you also had the magical movie guy episode.
Which, I mean, we did kind of shit all over that one. Mostly because Mariando had the magic flask and he couldn't get the lid back on or something. You're like, that's not. I miss that so much. I miss just having.
I miss magic flasks. I miss Adam. I miss
where Owen fights a gif of death. the bit in series one where that guy runs into a knife. Billis Manger, of course. Like I miss them being willing to do Monster of the Week stuff because it really.
I sent a photo of Bern Gorman from Dead Men Walking going,
I missed that. I missed the whole thing of like, you know, I missed the goose. I missed the parishes. I missed everything, you know? It's just like, this is such a bad way for it to go out on because it just does feel like they dropped the ball. And that's why we want to do the big finish stuff. Because I just, like, from what I heard, the initial run of like the single character ones, and they're great. You know, you have like one where Yanto Yanto's on like a plane that's like crashing, and he has to like talk to someone on the phone to like figure it out, and it's interesting. But like I need to take a Torchwood break, and I need Torchwood just to go away for a while. And maybe that would be the ideal way to do it, would be to, you know, listen to those stuff. But yeah, I don't know. That's in the Torchwood. Do you have any kind of parting words to remember Torchwood by before we move on?
No.
Okay. speaking of death.
Bye!
Let's kill Hitler. Coming soon.
Oh my god, I forgot. There's that.
Wow. There's that, and then we're finishing off Sarah Jane Avengers, pretty sure, once that thing's done. Which I'm sadder about because obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is a bummer. Yeah. That one is a bummer for reasons that were not in anyone's control. This one is a bummer for reasons that weren't totally in everyone's control.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, goodbye. Goodbye, Torchwood.
Bye.
Bye. Billis Manger, bye. It's so dark and moody. You can hear the rain. Pitter-patter. As we sit around the fire and torch some wood. Hello. This is Pod Torch Woodcast, I think.
Cause it made me happy. Oh, hail Abaddon.
Kind of happened, you sauce.
Miss Martha Jones.
I'm Donald Goofy. I'm Goofy's lawyer.
I'm the caretaker, Phyllis Mage.
What was the priest of St. Mary's doing performing a miracle in the walled-up parish of St. James?
If you're the best England's got to offer, then God help you. I'm Welsh.
We want your children.
Then tell me!
I'm not real. 3 days ago, I died. And they think I'm fine. But they're wrong.
Eugene. It is so good to see you. Eugene, you're on my leg.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm opening the rift.
I'm going to open the rift. That is the gist.
That is.
Along the way, we have the Weevil and Gratuitous Blood. Torchwood was always described to me as Doctor Who, but they fuck.
Here you go. I'm going to vanish into thin air now, and good luck to you. Bye.
Bye.